Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Aaron Stonish. I'm a co-founder and designer at 4Kitchens. We're going to be presenting, along with Kevin O'Leary, our session is called the Type Revolutionaries Cookbook. We're going to be talking about kind of how far we've come in the realm of embedding fonts on websites, the many challenges that we've had to overcome specifically by the foundries, and I think it's a really exciting time now. You know, we're finally able to really take advantage of all these great fonts on the web and put it in a format that's really lightweight, uses only CSS, and is accessible across all browsers.
Cool. So talk about some of the solutions that have emerged that are helping make this happen.
So one of the most exciting things probably right now is that there's a whole suite of web font hosting services. So a couple of examples of those would be Typekit is probably the most familiar. Kernist, Monotype has launched their own. And so they kind of take the whole trouble of you don't have to download the fonts, you don't have to buy the fonts, you don't even own them. They handle hosting all of them for you. They work with all of the foundries to work out all the licensing things. And you also don't have to worry about cross-browser compatibility. Every font that they serve you is going to work in every browser. And they have all kinds of different models, whether you know, you're buying it per font or if you just pay an annual fee and that gives you, you know, a certain number of websites or a certain number of fonts that you have access to.
So how does that actually work in, say, the Drupal theme then? How would you implement one of these fonts?
There's a really great module called @FontYourFace, and it actually taps into the different APIs for these different font hosting services. So there's one for like Google Web Fonts, there's one for Kernist, there's one for Typekit. And you know, you get like an API key from one of those providers, plug it into the module, and it immediately can kind of, you know, with a click of a button, it'll pull in all of your fonts that you have access to through those different accounts. And then from there, if you're not much of a themer, you can change and apply all your fonts straight through the UI. Or if you do, you know, if you are very familiar with CSS, you can kind of roll your own and play around with the CSS all you'd like.
I see. And so, you know, with fonts, there's all sorts of, you know, spacing and kerning and all sorts of other things that you have control of in some degree with the font and print design. But what controls do you have over the font and the spacing and other stuff like that?
Well, I actually haven't really dug into a lot of that, but CSS3 has a lot of exciting things for things that only true type nerds would really appreciate, such as, you know, drop caps and optical spacing and things like that.
I see. And what sort of like the process or code snippet, what would it look like from there once you get the module installed and all of your fonts that you may have purchased sort of ready to go and queued up?
Yeah. So if you do want to kind of roll your own and you want to dig into the CSS and get dirty, there's actually kind of a funny story. I was flying to LA for Drupal Design Camp LA to present a very similar presentation that I'll be giving here at DrupalCon. And so I was working on the plane, working on my slides, and over the course of the flight, by the time I had landed, the preferred CSS syntax had changed by the time I had landed. So I had to like go in there and change all my new slides. And I think even since that, and that was in February, you know, or just a month later, there's already a new preferred syntax. So it's changing. And I will admit that Internet Explorer is the culprit in dealing with its compatibility modes in Internet Explorer 9. But Internet Explorer 9 is actually making some really good improvements for supporting the new WOFF, W-O-F-F format, which I think that's really going to write the tale for the success of web fonts, because it finally, it kind of bridges the gap between, you know, you get to have just the font files and serve them yourselves, but also it's in a way, it's like a wrapper for true type files in a way that the foundries are actually okay with getting behind.
Right, yeah. So I guess that's sort of the thing with web browsers. It has the limited set of fonts, and then you're able to sort of expand them. So maybe talk about some of the designs you've been able to do or sort of things that you have been able to create that you weren't able to do before.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest change is that, you know, if anyone has done, worked with type, you know, it was very, very limited before. You know, you had only about 8 different fonts that were safe for the web. And now, you know, even if every foundry isn't releasing their own fonts as something you can buy as a web font kit with the different formats in it, these font hosting services have been really good about partnering with like Adobe and Monotype and other big, you know, respected foundries to give you a library of literally hundreds, you know, if not thousands of fonts. So I think just the sheer number of options that people have now, and it's not just limited to, you know, free fonts, but actually really high quality fonts.
And what are some of the price points of fonts? You know, what's kind of the low range and high range?
They've actually been doing some interesting things. I believe if you go to myfonts.com, they actually have packages where you buy the desktop license for a particular weight of a font, and it automatically comes with the web font formats. So even just a year ago, there were separate licenses for the desktop version and the web font version. So they're being really smart and understanding that when a person buys a font, they don't want to just use it on their desktop. They kind of want to use it across, you know, all platforms. So buying individual fonts can range anywhere between $100 and $300, I would say, which makes these font hosting services really appealing because, you know, you might pay $50 a year or $100 a year, and you can use an unlimited number of fonts from their library on an unlimited number of websites, and your only restriction at that point might be like 500,000 page views per website deployment.
Cool. And have you run into any sort of other issues like flash of content, you know, what other type of things should people look out for when using this?
There's one existing issue with Firefox. I'm blanking on the acronym, but it's basically like a flash of unstyled text, FOUS, I think, or FOUT, flash of unstyled type, I think. So that's one issue. I was just talking with Kevin, the co-presenter, and he was talking about the hinting in some of the web font formats where it looks really good on Mac or Linux even, but in Windows. If it's kind of a poorly designed font, one of these free fonts, then the hinting and rendering could look pretty poor in Internet Explorer or in Windows in general.
Is there any sort of site performance implications if you're kind of running off and grabbing the font from an external web service, or how does that sort of work?
I think you're a little bit at a higher risk of the FOUT if you're using one of these font hosting services, because it actually has to do an external request from someone else's server. So some people would probably argue that, you know, besides just having more control and hosting the files on your own website, you know, the fonts would be served from the same site and you wouldn't have to serve any external page requests.
Cool. And is there any sort of other final things you're going to be sort of communicating in your presentation about this today?
I'm just mostly excited that we get a chance to finally, we're getting really, really close to full-featured font rendering and, you know, embedding these web fonts. And we're kind of going to take people through, you know, just show them how far we've come, all the different things that we've tried, you know, with Cipher and KuFont. And then finally, we're now able to do this really lightweight solution. And the only thing that's still holding us back are the foundries, but they're finally starting to come around. And it's really exciting.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.